The text for our meditation together this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the people in the city of Rome. We find it in the 10th chapter, and we begin reading with the 5th verse as it begins talking about Moses. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them, but the righteousness that is by faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." This is our text. These words written by St. Paul to the congregation of Christians who were in the city of Rome. St. Paul is talking to them, in fact, in all of these chapters, chapter 9 that we talked about a couple weeks ago, chapter 10 that we're talking about today, and he goes on in chapter 11, still with the same conversation about what is the difference between the Christian person and the non-Christian person. And he talks about that in terms of understanding the theology that they practice, the theology and the way that they worship God, the way that they identify with God, and the way that they live their lives. St. Paul is telling them that Moses talked to the children of Israel a long, long time before they were living then, that the children of Israel needed to live according to the law. They were to follow God's design and God's purpose and God's plan, and he recorded that for them, first and foremost, probably in the Ten Commandments, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai and gathered the Ten Commandments and came down with those commandments. And the children of Israel then were to abridge their lives accordingly. They were to make decisions accordingly, according to what the Ten Commandments said and how they were affected by them. That they were kind of their marching orders as God's chosen people as such. And St. Paul says here, as he's quoting Moses, this is the way that they knew what God wanted them to do. And this is the way that God recognized them as his people and God was involved with them. But then St. Paul says, but that day is over. It's a new day for us as God's people. We're not talking about the law. We are talking about God's design and God's purpose by sending his son into the world to become the Savior for the world, that the world might come back to God, the Father, through the work of the Son, through Jesus' suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension. And we come here every Sunday knowing that that happened. It took place. We confess it every Sunday in the words of the Creed, when we say the Creed, that we believe in this Jesus Christ who did all of these things, not for himself, but in keeping with his Father's plan for you and for me. The difference is the law and the gospel. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, just a little bit. I'm going to talk about a little bit more today, because I can't think of any better way to talk about it than to quote Dr. Luther, who is the author and finisher of our faith, we might say, as Lutheran Christians. And Dr. Luther had a very clear understanding of the difference between the law and the gospel. So did Dr. Walther, who is the founder of the church body that we belong to as Lutheran Christians in our United States, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And one of its first presidents was Dr. Walther. Dr. Walther talked about this very, very frequently as well, the importance of understanding the difference between the law and the gospel. And I said a couple of weeks ago, the purpose of the law is very clear. It's to show us our sin, to show us that we indeed sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment, as the scriptures tell us, to show us that we often do things despite even what we want to do. We do things that we don't want to do, and yet we still do them. That's the law that reminds us of that. And the law makes us feel guilty because we have not done some of the things that we know God wants us to do. Yet, at the same time, We look at the law and we apply it to our lives, and we talk about all the things that we have done. Oh, I go to church almost every Sunday, and I put money in the offering almost every Sunday, and I visit her when she's a widow in distress, and I've helped her, and I go do things at her house for her, or I remember when they were ill and we took food over to their house and we did this, and I remember that I have to curb my tongue sometimes, and I do that because I'm a Christian person and I know that. And we're piling up all these good things that we did and trying to enumerate them and keep them coming. And yet God says that isn't enough. God says, be perfect, for I, the Lord your God, am perfect. God says that we are to be measured in who we are. Again, Dr. Luther talks about this in terms of a curb, a mirror, and a rule. A curb, the law is like when you are driving, if you were driving inside the city somewhere and there were curbings on the sides of the road, and you were driving down the road and suddenly you felt the jar and the car shook and you realized you were up on the curb. You didn't belong there. And so your natural intention was to turn the wheel back down again and get back on the straight and narrow. You wouldn't keep driving on everybody's front lawn. You would know that you were somewhere where you didn't belong, and you would get back to where you belonged. And that's the purpose of the law. It shows us our sin. It jars us. It reminds us that we are sinful. Dr. Luther says it's also like a mirror. When I get up in the morning and I go to the bathroom and I look in the mirror, what I see is reality. I don't always like what I see in the mirror, but I know I can make it look a little better. And so I grab a comb, a brush, a toothbrush, you know, I shave and put on a little shaving lotion, and I do all kinds of things to make me better than the reality of what I'm looking at in the mirror. And usually I can make it look a little better than the first thing I saw in the mirror. And that's the purpose of the law. It makes us look a little better in the eyes of God. But the most important one here is the third one. The law is like a ruler. The law says, be perfect, for I, the Lord your God, am perfect. You're not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and we're not going to be perfect in this life. And because of the predicament that we're in not being able to be perfect, God sent his Son into the world. You and I can mount up all those things that we've done, the visitation of the sick and making food to take to somebody, and all the things that we can say are good things that we do, and we like to be proud of them, and we like to encourage ourselves with them, and we pile them all up and we get about this much. But God says, no, I want this much. This is what I expect from you. And you're not producing. You're coming up with this much. But then God says, but I'll make up the difference. I sent my Son to become your Savior. He has put you right with me. He's the one that makes the difference for you. He is the one who is the grace in your life. He is the one that you come here to worship. He is the one who gives you strength and encouragement in your own life. Living under the law is a horrible way to live, because you're always waiting for something more to happen and wanting something more to happen. Living under the gospel, having God making you perfect because of your faith in his Son and what he has done for you, makes all the difference in the world in your outlook on life. The way that you look at other people, the way that you look at your family, the way that you look at your boss, the way that you teachers look at their children in a classroom, the way the classroom looks at the teacher, all of the relationships that we have in our lives are changed because of what God does for us in sending his Son to become our Savior. Because we are now righteous before God, not by what we do or don't do or promise never to do, but by what God has already done for us It's over with. Jesus has lived and died and risen and ascended to be with his Father. And he has called us into a faith relationship with him through our baptism. He has made us his own. And we now live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Dr. Luther's words again. We are those people who are set right with God, not by what we do or don't do, but by what God has first done for us. That's what allows us to come back to his house on a Sunday morning and bring him our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving. That's why we at the beginning of the service confess our sins and transgressions unto him and receive his forgiveness. And the reception is just as important as the giving or the listing of our sinfulness, because the forgiveness covers our sinfulness. We are put right with God. God is no longer angry with us as his people. He loves us because his Son fulfilled the promise that God had made to Adam and Eve way back in the Garden of Eden, that he would give them a second chance to be back into a relationship with him once again. God gave that second chance. And we are the residual people who live in that chance, who live in that opportunity that God has taken for us to be his people, to live under him in his kingdom, and to serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. That's who we are as the people of God. St. Paul is talking about how Moses told the children of Israel that they had to live now according to this law. But now St. Paul is also saying that's the way the Jews had a relationship with God, by doing all those right things and by counting all of those things that they did for righteousness' sake. But he says that's over with. Now you live according to the gospel. The good things you do, you don't do because of God, because of what God will do for you, or because of what's happening in your life. You do the good things because of you recognize what God has done in sending his Son to become your Savior and putting you right with God, righteous with God. You're okay now with God because Jesus has done for you what you could never do for yourself. As hard as you try, as hard as we might all try together, we can never be perfect. We can never do it all. But God has done it for us. And because we've come to know that, we live out our lives in a different kind of relationship with one another and with God. We know what God has done for us, and we do the things that please him, not because they're getting tabulated in the big book up in heaven of the things that we've done or not done. They're not tabulated. We are righteous before God. We are perfect in God's sight when we come to him in the name of his Son. And once again, that's who we are. That's what St. Paul wanted these people in the city of Rome to recognize, because they were talking about how good they were. And there was nobody better than St. Paul to talk about this, because St. Paul was a Pharisee. He was as high as you could get in the Pharisee traditions. He was schooled as a Pharisee. He had all of the knowledge of all of the law. And yet he said he was ready to throw it all out the window because he had come to know Jesus. And Jesus made the difference in his life. We pray that Jesus makes a difference in each one of our lives as well, that we recognize who we are, not by what we do or don't do, by what God has done for us, for his name's sake. Amen. And may that peace that passes all of our human understanding keep our hearts and our minds through faith in this Christ Jesus until our life everlasting. Amen.